You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Mm. Yeah, we're here.
Mm. You are now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. I have my mic where it's supposed to be now. Sorry about that. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hello.
Jay Moore, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, You know, it's, you know, that crazy weather.
You know,
hopefully that doesn't make anyone sick out here. I'm 60 one day, 22 the next.
Gets me every time, man.
Every time. I've been lucky. I've been lucky to kind of get through this portion of the winter without any ailments.
Yeah, it gets spooky in Indiana with the weather. So hopefully I can shake it and... And the weather can become consistent. So
you know, stay out. You know, make sure you eat your fruits and vegetables.
Definitely.
Get some elderberry in the mix if you are so inclined.
Yeah, bought me a bag of spinach the other day for my smoothies.
Okay, so, there you go.
Yeah, longevity. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
No problem. Happy to oblige.
Yes, sir.
With the answering of the questions.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. DJ J Dip, what's happening, man?
Terry Tyson, what's going on?
You good?
Yep.
Anything new? Same old, same old.
Same old.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let me get into this.
Working, day. You know.
The sun is the moon and stars.
We address this thing that black thought isn't influential?
I think we should.
I've heard people say this many times in the last couple days, that black thought isn't influential. And I don't understand where they're really coming from, because I understand how he gets overlooked because he's in a band. But he was, I mean, the Roots...
I mean, you just took the words right out of my mouth. It's like, it's the Roots. It's not like he's in a, just a regular hip-hop band. That's an iconic band that he's been barring up since they came out.
But you got to realize they're not a commercial hip-hop group, so to speak. Like, the Roots, the most commercial thing they ever did was being on the night show.
Yeah, or as far as musically, it was You Got Me.
Right.
That was the one that won them the Grammy. And
that album was fire, too.
Fire. But, I mean, I put the Roots as one of the best groups I've ever seen live.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Their music, Black Thought, doesn't have a whack verse.
I've never heard
in
one.
In 30 years, at least.
Yeah, doesn't have a whack verse.
If y'all can find one in the comments, post it. Post a link and say, hey. Yeah.
I don't know. I saw
I
that
think
today.
This is a whack verse.
I saw somebody today say, and shouts if he's listening, because he's a listener, but he said, yeah, he would get like no influence. I'm just like,
Black Thought would get no influence?
First of all, Black Thought is like your favorite rapper's favorite rapper.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely.
Fonte is the same way. Yeah. Like, you know, for whatever you think about Doja Cat showing feet in racial chat rooms, like when she like was going crazy over Little Brother versus Fonte's versus specifically. From the listening,
head still bobbing in my
brain. Drake,
come on,
Fonte
now.
Is one of Drake's favorite rappers.
Well, that goes to Fonte's influence, right? That's why it's
exactly
so high.
Right.
So, I mean, if you think of how big Drake's influence is, well, it just so happened that, you know,
he was influenced by this guy over here that you don't think.
I think just the fact that Black Thought never really changed out of who he is.
True.
He's in arguably the biggest hip hop band ever. I don't think there is another hip hop band that's bigger.
I mean,
than
he
that.
Is in the biggest hip hop band.
I don't see if there's any, and they've been around for.
They're on Jimmy Fallon every night.
There's that too, right? Yeah.
And, that just takes it through the roof.
And everybody who is that you know, you're never going to hear anybody try to that's a rapper downplay Black Thought.
No, you're not.
Because you can't.
It's more so consumers that don't really listen to them or aren't into them. Like,
right.
For example, when I went to the Jazz Fest in Cincinnati, the Roots were one of the groups that performed. Nobody was really paying attention to when the Roots were on stage other than, like, me and my brother was like, are y'all serious?
Yeah.
Like, that's Black Thought and Questlove and them down there.
Yeah.
And nobody really cared. They was talking and stuff all through his set. But, I mean, that just goes to show that a lot of this, the goodness is masked by the filtered down stuff, because that's what you hear mostly. So you're not hip to it like that, and you're not familiar with it because you just didn't listen.
Do you think I saw this argument too. Do you think that because of the divide of the Roots being quote unquote more conscious is part of it as well?
Definitely.
Possibly,
something that hinders.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think their content and their subject matter is not for the masses. So... Yeah, I think that goes into the equation. That might even be Terry's point by, you know, about why people weren't necessarily vibing. It's a vibe to us. It's a vibe to me. Everybody not.
We played instruments too, so right? That might be another allure of it.
But yeah. it's the phrase that I've said for years that still stands is, you always hear people say, man, ain't nobody trying to hear that. You hear that every once in a while. That yeah. may even apply to the Roots, to mm-hmm. certain no, for people. Sure. But just to dismiss it and be like, nah, he didn't have any influence or nah. it should be the lowest, I can't vouch for that. I
actually, the Roots are the first time I ever heard Benny Siegel was mm-hmm. on a Roots album. Mm-hmm. Things Fall Apart. Can't remember the name of the song he was on, but that was the first time I heard him.
But also, when you talk about the Roots, like they've done records on Def Jam. Like, I remember when Game Theory came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, when it came out, I just couldn't get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listened to it, like, when it wasn't, like, it came out, like, during the summer or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this ain't no summer album.
Right.
You know, I had to wait for a couple
drop Fall Vibe
leaves
album.
To they hit really the ground. Yeah. You know, but, you know, of course, records like, you know, How I Got Over and yeah. Undone and Then You Shoot Your Cousin. These are not things where, like, hey, we got a single coming up from the Roots yeah. we can play right next right. to whatever yeah. is hot right now. Like,
these are Cody Chestnut, the single off there, or was that Phrenology?
That was on Phrenology.
Phrenology.
Yeah. And yeah. yeah.
He was on How I Got Over, too, wasn't he? I thought.
Cody Chestnut?
Yeah, I thought he was. Maybe not. I'd have to look it up.
I'm not sure.
But I think that's probably a good point too. I feel like in general the Roots make a very specific type of, you know, if we're gonna take it to musical terms, I feel like, you know, you have pop music, and a lot of pop music historically is major chords, happy chords. The Roots are in the minors. They're in yep. they're it's a lot more like,
it's chord selection.
It's the way it feels is very much somber in a way.
It's very much October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
So
I can see that if you don't like that style of music, or it takes you to a place like that, then I guess that would make sense too. But I don't think there's any denying how great he is, especially when he goes and he's dropped like what, 3 or 4 projects in the last handful
yeah.
of years.
Yeah, just the most recent
was
Mouse.
The Danger Mouse joint,
Danger
right?
Mouse, Salaam Remy. Didn't he do one with Ninth Wonder too? Or am I thinking? I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Did he do one?
Yeah, the ninth.
I can't remember.
I think it was 2 of them. So yeah, look at
that. Because I know the one with Salaam, and I know the one with Danger Mouse.
Yeah. I thought he dropped one with, maybe not. Maybe I'm misconstruing that. But then, you know, when he dropped his Flex Freestyle, I mean, what are we even talking about anymore?
Ninth Versus Thought.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, was it just a thought?
I think that's a record, though.
Streams of Thought.
Streams of Thought. Volume 1. There it is, yep.
So it was a whole project?
Produced by Ninth Wonder, yep.
There's two versions.
Yeah, there's an yeah.
Is there a second one?
Yeah, there's
primarily produced by Ninth Wonder.
Primarily, okay.
Primarily, okay.
You were right. Yep, you were right.
So two streams of thoughts projects, Danger Mouse project, and then he dropped the Flex thing within that as well, a little bit earlier than that, then the Danger Mouse thing, and then of course being the MC on Fallon.
Which, come on, man.
I mean,
that's a hell of a resume.
I mean, like, it's one of the best resumes if you really want to sit and think about it. Like, if you want to sit objectively, like,
he out there.
Here's another crazy thing, too, that we couldn't factor in that we talked about is we couldn't factor in live performance. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people have told me, even people sitting at this table, that the Roots is the best, one of the greatest performances ever. So I don't know.
And one of the best producers was a part of the Roots at one point in time, that being Scott Storch.
Mm, true.
True, yeah.
No, I mean, the Roots are phenomenal. Like I said, they may not have the quote-unquote mainstream success, but, you know, being on the show helps. But, man, to just say it's not there, disagree. Yeah, I'm cool on that. I don't know if y'all saw this, but QC's been in the news of late.
I did. I saw Coach K and
P.
on Ari Melber on MSNBC talking about this one with Scooter Braun.
Yeah, I think it's called, is it Hybe or is it Hybe? I hope I'm not pronouncing it wrong. Hybe, that's the name. It's called.
That's the company?
Yeah, Hybe America, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's led by him. An acquisition was $300 million. They say it's still going to be a partnership, so they'll have some say-so. P, they'll still have some say-so, but Braun will be the, I guess, final decision in terms of stuff. So the artists will still be on there, but they no longer have, we'll just say, the final say so after the partnership.
Bieber about to be on QC.
Bieber about, definitely about to be on QC. who was on there? Yachty. Who am I missing?
City Girls.
Migos technically aren't anymore because Offset left.
Right.
So now there's just What's Quavo. His name? Quavo.
Yeah.
Quavo alone. Who else is on there? Let's see. Duke Deuce.
Yep. We was talking about Memphis earlier. But I also saw backlash. People in the black community and black Twitter and hip hop in general were saying, man, we never can own anything. Why do we always have to give up ownership?
I understand it, but there's two sides to that coin.
Talk to me about the two sides.
All right. So in a sense, as far as keeping the culture within the culture,
okay,
I understand the argument. But technically, when you own something, a lot of times the end game is to sell it off. Now, if you want to pick and choose who you sell it to, that's a different story. But I get why they want to sell it off.
For the record,
maybe they want to move on and do something else.
For the record, real quick, bro, it's $300 million in cash plus stock in the company.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
So,
go ahead, finish your thought.
I'm sorry. I just wanted you to get the numbers.
Well, no, it's just more so I understand people being upset about essentially selling the culture outside of the culture to somebody else.
Correct.
To essentially represent this brand. Obviously, Scooter Braun does not look like somebody that would own QC.
I agree.
When you look at the roster and where these people came from or whatnot, it's just one of those things where it looks weird, essentially. And then Coach K and what's his name?
P.
P have been the face of QC. And it's just weird to see Justin Bieber's manager essentially owning these artists essentially right now. So, I mean, I get it. But at the end of the day, somebody is still rich off of this.
Hey, he says QC. Braun says QC is one of the most significant independent labels in the world. They not only distribute music, but they also distribute culture. Their artists are the voices of their communities. So, to your point, now he'll be representing what.
Is Lil Baby on QC? I believe he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's their most successful artist right now.
Yeah, Lil Baby definitely is. Yeah. He's that dude for sure. Go ahead, Jay Moore.
Well, you know, they said it and Terry said it is like you build these companies up so you can sell them.
Right.
You know, there's all this mindset of selling out, but really this is about people buying in. Okay. And also when you talk about $300 million, do you realize the amount of capital that is for you to be able to do other things?
That's a good point.
You know, and just because they sold this off, it's like, okay, what are they going to create next?
Exactly.
They're going to create something else with that $300 million
to hopefully
where, okay, whatever we create with this, we'll be able to sell that for $1 billion next time. You know, it's not like they gave them a deal and said, all right, this is the best you can do. Look, they probably negotiated. $300 million was what was their number,
mm-hmm.
You know. And I think a lot of times I think it's brilliant because think about it. When you own a record label, you're essentially in 2023, you own something that doesn't sell anything.
You're an anomaly.
That's the crazy thing. You're owning you. They paid $300 million for a company that doesn't sell anything. They stream things.
Mm-hmm. Stream a lot.
But, you know, just think about it. When it was Death Row, they're at least selling something. When it was Bad Boy, when it was Master P and Cash Money and No Limit, at least you could say, hey, they're selling something.
They had a product.
You could quantify it through, oh, they sold $1.7 million of this.
That's true.
They pulled $3 million of this. Like, I think it's a genius move and incredible when you that literally they sold for $300 million. They sold something that doesn't sell anything.
And they sold their IP.
IP. And that's really all that's really all anybody has now because no one actually buys anything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, just like we talked about how we don't buy video games anymore. We get them through subscription services. We stream all of our music.
Yep.
We stream all of our movies. You know, so, and right now they're still trying to figure out that business plan because, you know, Spotify doesn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is, when you look at their balance sheet, like, because, you know, this is when I look into things to invest in, I'm like, wait a minute, they don't sell anything. In fact, they're always in the red, you know, so they're still figuring out a business plan, but they're like, okay, well, we know somewhere down the line we'll be able to make this $300 million make sense. We may not be able to make sense right now, but look, we need to get in on the ground floor. This. And once again, $300 million is significant capital to do other things, to go into other business ventures. It might be because you don't want to stick around too long trying to do this, because you'll wake up one day and nobody cares. Like, for lack of, I don't want to say nobody cares, but
yeah,
nobody,
I would say
you'll
that.
Wake up one day and be like, oh, Bad Boy's not hot anymore.
But Death what's not going hot on with not Quavo and Offset right now? It might have been the best thing for him to do.
Like, I remember when...
I didn't even think about it like that.
Straight up.
When Russell Simmons sold Fat Farm for $150 million. It was to a company in St. Louis called Kelwood. Mm-hmm. And just looking a couple years after that, I don't think it was... If you'd have put $150 million inside one of those hoodies... Fat Farm wasn't worth $150 million.
He sold the farm.
He sold it literally when people didn't care. Yeah. Like, so, I mean, it was a great business move for them. Not so much for Kelwood, because I don't think they even did anything with the that particular IP after, because I don't. It just wasn't hot anymore.
He sold in Windsat Indian style.
Lona, I want to hear what you think. What you think about this acquisition, man? What do you think?
I think
is the backlash. How you feel about that part? Is that
the backlash comes from poor people?
Exactly.
Okay.
Who don't own it? Who instead of understanding what it is to own a piece of something, they'd rather own 100% of nothing.
Long talk to me, man. What just thoughts in general?
Well, I mean, Jay kind of makes the point that I was going to make, to the sense of I feel like we're all saying it's a good thing for them, just from, again, I'm going to bring it up again, I guess, every episode, from a capitalist ideology.
There we go.
But I mean, let's be real. I mean, that's what it is. We're praising them for being good capitalists.
True.
It's
the American way.
The thing that kind of stands out to me is here's where I think it could potentially be problematic down the line, is if we talk about monopolies, mm-hmm. and we talk about a certain type of person that is buying up all these people's music, who is literally going to then be a capital owner of that specific thing. This gives QC money, but it removes capital in that aspect.
Okay.
So in this aspect, QC is no longer capital owners of this specific thing that they've built. They have sold all of that capital to somebody else. Now somebody else owns that. Now, I don't know. I mean, it does give them, I feel like the arguments are valid for, yeah, now they can build something else. You know, now they can do whatever they want with everything they want to do. But I do kind of, I don't want to say I'm worried, but I'm wary of people that come in and just buy stuff up and then will collectively make money off of this essentially forever. And we'll own. I mean, think about other monopolies that we have in this country, right? Think about the food industry, mm-hmm. and it's owned by like, what, you know, seven companies or something, mm-hmm. or, you know, the airlines or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yes, we're talking about media, but in the same sense, it's kind of the same thing. And when I look at it from that lens, it's just, it's kind of problematic to me.
Yeah, you're right. And it kind of also depends on these artists, how their deals are structured. So if their deals are structured to where they own some sort of their publishing, them owning QC doesn't do a whole lot to them. I'm sure that, I mean, it factors in money somewhere in there, but it's not stealing all their property, essentially. So, I mean, now it is interesting to see what's going to happen with this.
What do you guys think about, a slightly devil's advocate here, but what do you guys think about how Master P talked about No Limit in the beginning when he said he had got that first offer? He said, well, if this person
from Interscope, yeah,
this,
I remember that.
What am I really worth? Like, is it the 300 million? Now, far be it for me to be counting pockets for somebody to get $300 million. Like, get your money and do what you got to do. But is that, if it's valued at $300 million in terms of this partnership or this negotiation, they jumped on it quick. Does a part of me think, I wonder what it would have been worth if somebody else would have offered? Could I have received five from somebody else on the Master P type thought?
Well, essentially, like, you're supposed to, if you sell something, somebody that's buying it wants to leave some room in there for them to make money.
That's true.
That's just how you do things.
That's true.
That, at least what I was taught or how I learned,
yeah,
is if you're selling something off or if you're buying something, you want to leave some wiggle room in there for you to make money. And the other party understands that too. So they're purchasing it or accepting the offer, knowing that they're still gaining something out of it.
Yeah.
So
I can dig that.
Well, you know, it's It's also when you sell it, because you know you want to make sure that you're selling high. You know, what if it, they decide, no, we don't, we want to hold on to it in 3 years, QC is not the label it is now.
Right.
And then they said, hey, remember when we were going to offer you $300 million? We'll give you 25 now.
That's a good point.
But at the same time, I mean, it's all a certain level of gambling, because what if the next person they put out on QC winds up being Drake? You know, and then you're like, oh, well, now the it's $600 million if you want. But that's the whole, that is capitalism.
Yeah,
that is like every day when I look at my portfolio, I'm like, wow, I should have bought this. I should have bought this then, or I should have sold this then.
Pork bellies.
Well, no, I don't mess.
Pork bellies.
I don't mess with.
I know. I was just,
I'm not into that level of investment. I know what you're talking about. Frozen concentrated orange juice. shout out to everybody who remembers Trading Places. But I just feel like this is. I feel like it was a good move for them.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, every record label other than really Cash Money, mm-hmm. we talked about several episodes ago. You know, at one point, you'd be like, man, I would love to have a part of Slip and Slide. Or, man, can you imagine being down with Death Row? You know, and then you look up and, like, Death Row is just being passed around. You know, luckily Snoop.
As an NFT.
Yeah, you know, luckily Snoop. And I saw the announcement that the Death Row catalog will be going back to streaming services.
Now, I'm happy about that.
Now, mind you, people got to understand what the Death Row catalog is. That's Snoop's two albums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be Dog Food.
Yep.
It's going to be Murder Was the Case soundtrack, which is a big deal.
Oh, is it coming back? I need that.
Murder
I
Was
need
the Case
that.
Has
I
not been that. On streaming. You know,
you might get lucky and find it on YouTube.
No, it's on YouTube.
But does it have all the songs?
First of all, everything's on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay, all right, you know. All right. I'm just checking.
I've definitely listened to it on YouTube.
I always felt like it was missing joints, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
You know, so, you know, but once again, it depends on who, it really ownership depends, it determines who makes those decisions of what goes on streaming, where, what streaming app it winds up being on, because you know you can make those exclusive deals and say, okay, this is only on Tidal or only on whatever.
I mean, the article said he will have the, you know, final say. So like, it's still, you know, somewhat of a partnership, but he's still getting
percentages of something. He's getting, I mean, that's what I mean. Like,
I mean, once again, they said it's a partnership. They didn't just, you know, there's a big deal. There's a big
they
difference.
They bought into it, essentially.
Yeah, once again, there's a big difference between selling out and buying in. And so buying in.
He's going to be the head guy. They walked away with 300 of them things. And to Jay Moore's point, we'll see.
Seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, hey.
I can't frown at that.
I can't frown at $300 million on something that I built.
Let's see if he brings some of that back to Knapp, though. I'd like to see that.
Yeah,
because it's a wrap for anybody from Knapp signing the QC now.
Shout out to them brothers, man. They came up at the end of the day, and you know, I like to see people successful. It's a win for them, and I'm in the Jay Moore camp where we'll see what they do next. Right. And hopefully it's something dope, and hopefully it's something involved in hip hop, and you know, it's evolution, man, whatever they do. The great Tupac was in the news. Well, actually his estate. They say in 2023 they are going to be releasing some four joints that are unreleased from him. And it's got me thinking about the concept of a lot of our rappers that have passed, like Tupac and Biggie, and the conversation that continues to last. If you go to YouTube and just see, what's my man's name? Oh, I love his content. Art of Dialogue, I believe is the name. His name is Art. He's got kind of like a Vlad type platform. He's a black guy, real dope content. I always see people like me and Jay Moore were talking about Gene Deal one time. Remember you talking about Gene Deal?
Okay, yeah.
I'd rather
him continue to talk to artists. Those are good comments, but it's just
But I always see the conversation. We always see articles pop up about who killed this person, who shot this person, who did this, and it's like 25. How long was that? 96?
96,
97. So a lot of this stuff continues to come up. Is that good to resurface and continue to talk about this stuff if it's not from an investigative standpoint?
It ain't no different than what they did with Elvis' stuff.
Oh.
It's Tupac. It's the hip-hop side of things. You know, there's people still going to visit Graceland or whatnot.
I mean, I guess the conversation sometimes on the platforms, I'm like, when you're talking about, I use Gene as an example because I'm pro-Gene. Jay Moore is
I'm not so much anti-Gene, but it's just like, unless we're going to arrest somebody for the murders of these people,
that's what
like,
I'm tired of hearing that.
Like, yeah, but nobody's going to jail, you know, technically, you know, even though technically these murders have been solved, Like, nobody's in jail.
Right.
And I don't, and if, unless you're going to talk to me about somebody going to jail for taking these artists away from us, I really don't want to hear what you guys say.
It's like, it's story time now. Like, even, like with the unreleased records, that's our era. I'll be hype. I'll be curious to hear them. But it's just a lot of that stuff continues.
I wouldn't necessarily be hype about it.
No.
Oh, well, you a big Tupac fan, so that surprises me. That surprises me.
The thing about it is, once these artists pass away,
mm-hmm.
you're hearing it not in the way they necessarily wanted you to hear it.
Right.
There's a reason why it may not be out yet.
Like, I heard
it was never released.
There was a song, I know what the original sounds like. It had a Prince sample, and maybe that's why it never hit.
That's an expensive sample. But, and I don't even know what the song is.
The song was called Pac's Life, and it sampled Pop Life.
Mm-hmm.
And
Pac was not going to green light that.
Well, no. See, that's the one that he actually that was done when he was alive. But then they put out a version of it
mm-hmm.
on one of his posthumous releases, mm-hmm. and it was the same lyrics, but it had Ashanti on it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, don't nobody like. No, I remember. No.
I was not with that record. I remember that.
I want to hear like I said. I heard the bootlegs. Of, you know, probably off Machiavelli 17 or whatever they had out in the streets at the time. Yeah,
super,
you know,
gritty.
And I don't want to hear Tupac and, you know, 7th Street or Doom. You know, he didn't know these people.
The last good album that came out with Tupac's lyrics on it that he had nothing to do with was the Outlaw album. I can't remember the name. Still I Rise. That's the last album that I can say this still sounds good.
There are a couple joints off of Until the End of Time. But
what was the
after that, I was done.
What was the double disc that had Do For
All
Love?
Eyes on Me? No, double disc.
No, man. That was the one that had the painted picture of him.
That was before, wasn't it?
Are You Still Down?
Are You Still Down? That was the one that came out.
That was, yeah.
That had some heat on it. To me,
this had Do
that,
for Love.
Yeah, that had some heat on it. It was some good songs.
I don't know.
Wonder if Heaven got a Ghetto.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. That project
had everything.
Well, I think at that time they were skimming the fat off the top, though, so that they had some stuff that was ready to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. probably.
But he has a whole bunch of stuff that's just sitting there
because they say
that are not complete. I mean, he has a whole rhyme book. With an album that was called One Nation, with a whole track list of songs.
Did you ever see that?
Some of those came out.
Some of them came out,
yeah.
But a lot of them didn't.
The production is Battle Cat, Quick.
Yeah.
The production was Buckshot.
Did any of those actually even manifest? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I agree with you. I'm just, with the records, I'm actually, when you said you wouldn't necessarily be hyped, that just shocks me because I know how big of a Pac fan you are, but I understand what you're saying.
I don't want to hear, like I said, I don't want to hear some new producers take Pac tracks and put people on that he didn't know or might not even mess with.
No, I'm against that. I'm just thinking.
Like,
I
was not going to get excited about hearing a Tupac Ashanti song.
Mm-hmm. If it's in his raw form, I'd be interested to hear it. But to Terry's point, like he says, unfinished. I don't know if that necessarily bothers me, just from the standpoint of something that I've never heard from him, but just the conversation, man. Sometimes I just see it so much, and it continuously pops up, and it's like there's no effort towards getting anything accomplished. It's just like story time over and over and over and over again. I
mean, what's to be accomplished?
Way, yeah, I don't.
What's to be accomplished?
Well, I mean, when he talked about Jay Moore said, what was the word you use? An investigative.
Well, that's more so on the whole conspiracy thing.
Yeah.
But as far as them making money, I mean, that's what the estate does. Like, that's the reason why I bought up Elvis. I mean, they were selling commemorative plates and
true.
His face ended up on a stamp.
They were getting that paper.
And
right.
People are still going to visit.
That's different. That's
his
the
home.
Estate. And I get that. I'm
well,
just
this
talking,
is the estate.
This
too
is the estate of Tupac, too.
Okay. But, I'm talking about all these people who want to get on and tell stories of, like, man, I told Pac not to get in the car. I'm like,
right. That's
well,
what
all
I'm
right,
talking
well,
about.
Thanks for the information now.
What'd you say? What'd you say, Long?
No, I don't care about any of this.
Yeah. I mean, like I said.
I mean, like, no, I mean, but seriously, like, Tupac, unfortunately, has passed away, and we've heard all the music that we need to hear from Tupac. He's got a great catalog for us to listen
great
to.
Great catalog.
We have a whole bunch of other artists, new artists out here that are making exceptional art. For me to like, really worry about something that was hidden away and it was never released for specific reasons, like, nah, man, like, I don't.
Like, there's a some of the songs you're like, oh, these are songs that were never released for a reason.
Yeah. Like, y'all got songs, they were no good. Beats that you've done and nobody will ever hear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots.
There's a reason for that, right?
Lots of them. Sometimes.
Essentially.
I mean, for me, I just don't have enough. I mean, I'm not trying to put out a beat tape every week. You know, nobody's going to listen to it.
But you're right, though. It's some of the.
Some stuff that just ain't meant to see the light of day.
Some of it, yeah.
I agree with you there.
Now, I do, like,
some of it
Marvin Gaye released, well, he didn't, but his estate released an album that he actually recorded that was never released. So this was done by Marvin Gaye, and it just never came out because they were saying it was too politically charged or something at the time. It came out like 2 years ago.
And that's different.
And
that's
been gone since the 80s. So an album coming from Tupac that was never completed, that he had nothing to do with, and like you said, has new producers on it.
We don't need that.
I'm cool on that, man, because it doesn't have that Pac feel.
Yeah. I hope it's not that type. Now, you got me thinking. Now, I hope it's not that type of Ashanti mashup type joint.
Well, it will, because remember the Biggie duets?
Yes.
And it actually was a couple songs on there that was dope, too.
Yeah.
But Biggie had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and it was all verses I had heard somewhere else before.
True.
And I liked the way they sounded before.
Yeah.
And you just kind of trying to warm up cold French fries.
Without an air fryer.
Didn't even use the air fryer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I would be okay with a Tupac house album.
A house album from Pac?
Yeah, why not?
No. He's trying.
Since we're going there, let's just do it.
He knows better. Somebody will probably mess around and do it.
It was maybe about a year ago, 6 months. They put out a Biggie with... whoever it was, the song was terrible. I don't want anybody to look it up.
Is that bad?
I don't need to. Yeah, I'm not even going to rack my brain trying to figure out who they had him collaborating with, because I heard like the first like 30 seconds of it. I was like, this is trash. Yeah. Like, stop trying to, you know, there's a version of this song that he recorded when he was alive that he liked and wanted us to hear. Please stop taking these vocals and putting them over this foolishness.
Yeah. Biggie got a whole concert out right now in the metaverse. I went and looked at some of it.
When I tell
it's
you,
it's actually kind of dope though, because
I'm asleep.
It's essentially a recreated character in him. So him and Diddy's in there. They're like, some of the videos are redone with this new Biggie look. It's
like the CGI Biggie.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool though. I went there just to check it out for a hot second, and it was dope. But his estate okayed that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like somebody's just stealing his identity and trying to make money and stuff off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw the video. I saw a video on IG where they took. Remember we talking about the Drake voice thing? The episode I was going. I saw a video where they used Kendrick's. Did you guys see that on Instagram?
Sent that to you.
Oh yeah. Terry, you're right. Terry sent it to me. That's very scary, man.
Yeah, people about to start releasing albums sounding like these artists.
I mean, the deepfake stuff is already super out there.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that's a whole rabbit hole in itself.
So when you talk about deepfake and then deepfake with audio as well, yeah. I mean,
Do you see the what? Well, I am not going to ask that because I know as soon as it gets big, a lot of these people are going to start getting lawsuits and stuff.
Oh, of course.
You can. That can be very dangerous.
I've seen deepfakes of like photographs where like,
yep,
that didn't happen.
Yeah,
and like there's little things that'll let you know. Oh, okay, like there'll be like the elbow. They couldn't get something right.
The leg or arm will be too skinny.
Right, or
like I've seen, extra row of teeth.
Like I saw this one where it's like I don't know what the criteria and what they put into the AI generator, but it was like, if South Park was an 80s sitcom and like made the characters look
that's
like
kind of dope,
real people.
I didn't see.
I think those ideas are dope. Like, actually, TR is doing one right now where he's using dogs as NFL mascots. So he's been using the AI generator and putting it in the Illustrator and kind of messing with it himself.
He's been doing that for a minute.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of dope when you're using it the right way. But when you're using it to, like, the fake deep stuff and you're putting out whole projects.
This guy was literally sitting in his room and just talking. He's like, man, it'll make me sound just like Kendrick. And he made a whole song, made a beat, he was rapping, and it sounded like Kendrick was rapping to the beat Dude Just Made. I said, this is crazy.
Are you talking about the guy that it was in Ableton?
Yes, he had Ableton up.
So he had one AI write a song that wasn't, by Kendrick, and then another one.
He wasn't doing that in real time. He wasn't doing that.
Is that different? Am I getting confused?
He wasn't doing it in real time, though, I don't think. He made it seem like he was. But I'm pretty sure that that wasn't like a random Ableton VST that you could do.
There was one I saw that had somebody was using Eminem's voice. He was DJing, and they pumped some words in there or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they exist. But as far as being able to do that in real time like that, I don't think that's a thing. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm wrong.
No,
he said he used two different AI generators. So he used one to write the song in Kendrick's style. Then he used another one to rap that song that the other AI generator in Kendrick's voice.
So that's how he did it. Okay. Blew my mind when I saw it. I thought he was doing it in, you know, just right there on the spot. I said, this is crazy, man. This is dangerous. Like, this could really be get spooky out here. So
it's dangerous.
Yeah, the deepfake stuff is super.
Shout out to
I mean, it's
the
just
deepfake stuff. There's a whole big thing recently that was going on with like Twitch streamers and stuff. Where this Twitch streamer apparently was on this deepfake adult site, and there's deepfake adult sites out there with a whole bunch of random
like.
Real people
putting like
what
faces on
yeah
stuff.
So did y'all see the one about the thing. Church and the church was a bunch of women with big or something on it.
Yeah.
Nah,
so that was all AI generated. People thought that was real.
Much like, no, I ain't see that.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that.
People remember that this was that. Like this real church in Atlanta where it said come as you are, and it had all these women scantily clad women with their breasts all out. And yeah,
you
that was fake.
Mm-hmm.
It was all fake.
I didn't know it was fake at first. I was like, wow, that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shout out to whatever pastor came up with this idea.
Man.
Yeah. Long was like, I'm going to have to
great guy
come in on friends and family days.
I want to go get baptized.
Man. No, I hadn't seen that, but that's scary too.
Yeah.
They're giving out gasms at church.
All right, let's not bring up Smokey Robinson for 2 weeks in a row.
Disrespect. Yeah, let's cut the disrespect out.
That might be the church he attend.
What's the date for the album?
I don't have it memorized. Oh. I know sometime in, I believe, the end of March.
Saw Smart Work today too, but we ain't gonna talk about that.
Man, we'll get to it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I guess we'll just see what happens with the records, as they say, and I guess just go from there, huh? You're not too excited, are you?
Nah, yeah, man.
I think we've moved on past this.
You gotta realize too that
I'm trying to pull it out of
I was one of the wishful thinkers that thought Tupac was actually on that he was gonna come back type stuff.
Come back from Cuba.
Because the way he set up that album, and then when you learned about who Machiavelli was and blah blah blah, it actually made sense.
It was perfect.
But this was back in 96, 97.
This is back when information still didn't move as quickly.
Right, right.
True.
So I was one of those hopeful people that eventually woke up and was like, I'm on some BS. Tupac ain't coming back.
Well, at least you came home, man.
Yeah.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to our partners. We appreciate those partnerships and relationships as always. Let's talk Adidas. So apparently Adidas is struggling since they cut ties with Mr. West. When I say struggling, I'm talking about billions of dollars.
Beyonce's line isn't selling like it's they wanted to other.
You think that's in there too?
I mean, it has to do with a lot of that.
Okay, so it says in a profit warning issued on Thursday, Adidas said the decision to not sell existing merchandise is expected to slash the company's full year revenue by $1.28 billion and its operating profit by $533 million in a year.
That hurts.
It says the loss may be even greater if the company decides not to repurpose any of its unsold Yeezy merchandise.
Welp.
So basically, they are going to do a structured proposal to Kanye, see if they can re-engage him, get him back in the brand.
Mm, look at that.
Try to get a little bit of this paper back.
Hey, Kanye is going, if they do that.
Dude, this is what I want to know.
You know what battery they're putting in the back of Kanye with?
That's my question. Lone, I see.
I ain't even talking about a D battery. I'm talking about an
anti-Semitic
thing. Man, I can say whatever.
So I will open the
car
floor.
Car battery.
Open the floor up. By just asking, because I see Lone's computer working in his head. So how does this look, man? Just in general, because the battery, to Terry's point, the size of the battery that will be in his back if this happens will be, I don't even know how bad it can get, bro. I don't know, man.
Battery you can find.
What
would be in his back.
Jay Moore, what you think, man, about Adidas? How does this look based off everything that we know up until this point?
Well, this just speaks to something that is a steady theme on our show, especially with longevity speaking on it. This is capitalism.
Is that it?
All that, hey, we don't want to deal with someone who said these controversial anti-Jewish things.
But the bag is suffering now.
Yeah, and so now it's like, well, we don't lose all this money, so let's see if we can re-engage
Before we go any further, where are you reading that they're actually re-engaging with him? Because I haven't. That's news to me.
I thought that was something that was new.
No, that's what I was reading on this cheat. It's proposed that
some random person named DAK on Twitter.
No, it's not DAK. It's not DAK. This is on NPR.
The
concept of this actually happening is real.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it wasn't just based off a random tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. New York Times got a post on this too.
Okay. Well,
so it's legit.
Well, there you go. It just shows you where people's values actually are, and it's to the shareholders.
You said NPR.
Yeah, it's NPR.
And to their bottom line, you know, all that, oh, we don't want to offend anybody. Look, as soon as it doesn't matter. Like,
it was sexy for the moment.
It was sexy for the moment because, you know, if Kyrie really start balling out in Dallas.
He's going to.
And all of a sudden, they wind up in the NBA Finals. Nike will be like, you know what? Maybe we were a little bit.
Now, Nike ain't going to circle back.
You don't think so? Well, they have enough of going on, you know.
Yeah, Nike ain't going to circle back.
Nope.
I don't know. Neither here nor there. Go ahead. My bad.
No. But once again, it just shows you after a certain amount of time, people will, unless you're Chris Brown, they will forgive you or find a way to continue to make money. And I can't even say that with Chris Brown because people still go to his concerts.
Yeah, people are going to. But he had $1,000 meet and greet.
Yeah, but
with a long line.
I think about, you know, we Most just had cities. The Super Bowl pass, and I remember when, you know, Ray Lewis was radioactive because, you know, someone died in his presence, allegedly.
Come on.
I mean, man. I guess it's not allegedly, but it wasn't, but maybe 2 or 3 years later where he was on the cover of John Madden Football and was a spokesman for Nike. Yep. So here's somebody involved in actually somebody losing their life. And, you know, when you it depends on how good your songs are and how many touchdowns you run for.
He's the only I will go out and say he's the only football player that came out unscathed on a situation like that.
Well, you know,
you said Ray?
Yeah.
You got to understand, all he did was kill someone. He didn't hurt people's feelings like Colin Kaepernick did.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
It's one thing to take someone's life. It's another thing to hurt white people's feelings.
You can beat up women, too. Evidently.
Well, as long as there's no videotape of it. See, that Ray Rice, they were going to let him play.
I promise you
Rice was going to finish his career with the Ravens.
He definitely was going to finish his career.
But then the video came out, and they're like, well, no.
Yeah.
This is exactly what was described to us, so.
Yeah. Got to kind of go with it.
But these numbers in this article are staggering. So just the idea of if this were to possibly happen, could you imagine?
This is what I know it's going to be a ripple effect from. I guarantee you no other company is going to invest so much in an outside entity like they did with Adidas did with Kanye. Because if just this one person we have and we're doing business with can tank $1 billion, then we're not going to give them that kind of leverage or power. We're never going to give anybody that kind of leverage or power over our
own.
The thing with Adidas is they never had flagship artist or sports person that generate this type of income for them. So that's the whole reason why Ye would say Yeezy jumped over Jumpman, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's a fan of Jordans,
yeah,
but he pretty much went to this company, made it very popular to wear Yeezy shoes, which, I mean, Adidas was popular before then, but you got to realize
how much
extra he was generating for this company. So these billions that they're losing is essentially all the money that they weren't making in the first place. So they put them in a position, and now they want to stay in that position, and they want to circle back because these Yeezys are still being sold. But everybody knows that Yeezy has, or Ye has, nothing to do with it, so it's not selling the same way. I mean, they could do a Yeezy drop, and it would be sold out in minutes, and that's just not happening now because capitalism.
Well, anti-Semitism was really why. But, I mean, but
what you think about the idea, Lone, the possibility?
Well, I don't think it's real because I just looked up all three of those articles and it doesn't mention that at all. The possibility of him buying anything back is not listed in any of these articles that I looked at. Everything here, I mean, I don't know what you're specifically looking at, but I'd like to know because, one, this doesn't seem like something that they would do. That's why I wanted to look it up, and I don't see anything on any of these articles. So,
well, I didn't take it as it's going to happen. I'm taking it as the article is saying how much money they lost, which to me is a direct correlation in them losing Kanye,
right?
And the fact that if this were to happen, the ramifications is what I was talking about. I wasn't saying it was 100%. Definite that it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm saying is I don't see it even listed as it's even a thing. Everything that I've read about it so far up to this point and right here is just pretty much the ramifications of what's going to happen because of Adidas.
So it's a hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical that I don't even think even exists. Hmm. I don't see it. I just wanted to make sure due diligence was there. But I feel like Adidas, you can't really be mad at Adidas for distancing themselves from Kanye West.
I agree.
You know, so if they lose this money, are they going to lose billions of dollars? Yes. But it's just a company. So the company has a bunch of shoes. They're going to dump off somewhere. They're going to lose some money, and then they're going to bounce back and still be a company.
I'm about to try to figure out who to get next to try
to figure out why this Adidas thing with Beyonce ain't working.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that part when Terry said that.
Beyonce's, her clothing lines haven't sold well even before Adidas. You got to realize people.
Yeah, what nobody trying to buy them Darion
jeans? People want to see Beyonce. They want to see her sing and perform and all of that good stuff. They really ain't concerned about wearing her clothes.
Well, that, and like when they made it seem like the only people that were going to get these Ivy Park clothes were celebrities and people who already were famous.
Right.
I remember when they did that rollout, it seemed impressive, but I'm like, is there anywhere where regular people can buy this?
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
But I don't know. It was the same thing with the Yeezy shoes. Like when my dumb ass went into the spot and asked, can I have some Kanye West shoes? Because they look like sweatpants for your feet.
Can I trouble you for some Kanye West shoes?
Like people who really want them can buy them. I just didn't want them that badly.
So here's my question. Can you actually still buy Yeezys now?
I still see people wearing them.
Are they like lower cost now?
No.
Not if anything, it's
still the same.
About the same, if not higher?
I think I bought the last pair of Yeezys that dropped before everything went south.
So you're telling me that the prices are still high. They have a whole bunch of stock.
It still says Yeezy on them.
But they own it, right? Technically, Adidas does, so they can still sell them. So I don't know. I don't know. This whole thing is confusing to me right now.
But I mean, when your consumers know he's nothing to do with it anymore.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, now it's not deemed cool. Everybody wants the big red clown shoes.
That was pretty much what I was going to say.
Which is pretty much blowing up on the net now.
Yeah, them damn Astro Boy shoes.
Yeah, who so wants stupid. To wear those?
I was going to ask you if you've
they're
seen
so
them.
Stupid,
I wanted
man.
To know if you saw those.
I was like, a lot of you need to stop.
Cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Y'all out here just mascot buying stuff because you saw somebody famous wear it.
Come on,
I don't even know what the ticket.
It don't go with nothing you own.
Nothing.
I don't know what the ticket are for them Papa Smurf
$325.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know. To be honest, and this is just me, and I know maybe I'm a little bit different here, but if I saw a pair of Yeezys that they had out still, and I liked them, I'd probably still buy them, even though Kanye wasn't a part of it.
Yeah, I would too.
If I saw
because I don't care what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, it's just I don't know.
I would if they dumped all their Yeezys on at Shoe Carnival.
Uh huh.
Buy one get one half off.
I would spin the wheel, and that'd be my new running shoe.
I remember you could spin the wheel and possibly get a skateboard out of it.
A skateboard?
Yeah, if I get a skateboard and some Yeezys, I'd be in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, if they cost, how much do they typically cost when you go to buy them now?
$200.
Okay, that seems a little high, but maybe that's
normal. Something way higher than that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they cost like, $100, $150 or something like that, and I like them.
You can find some, like the foam posits. Or not foam posits, but the foams.
The alien looking shoes?
Yeah, them was like
$100.
I don't want those.
It was like $100, $80.
No, $49.99. That is my threshold.
The once slides were like $65, $70 for the slides.
The slides will be higher.
You know what this really kind of makes me, I'm going to go there again, but
oh, man.
I really don't care. I really don't care that Adidas.
That.
Yeah, no, but I mean, the fact that Adidas, like, they took a gamble on, you know, all this, you know, they're going out. I think it's great that Adidas took this stand that they did and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, that's inherently the part. What's the worst thing that can happen? They can lose money.
They can lose money.
They'll eventually get back.
Yeah, they can lose money, and then the people that own the company, maybe they have to sell it, and they have to be a worker again.
Yeah, I mean, it's been
and then
sold
they can start
before.
Another company.
That's we just thing. Talked about that with
Adidas has been sold before.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
multiple times.
You know, and they'll figure
the
out some
choice.
Somewhere else. You know, like because when you watch the World Cup and you saw all those jerseys, who made all that stuff?
Yeah,
Adidas.
They make all
it's a worldwide.
That's where
company.
They get most of their money is from apparel. In soccer, in football, and things of that nature.
And,
well, Nike's doing football now, but Adidas does the high schools and colleges and things
you know,
like
do,
that.
Well, I think their NHL contract is about to expire, but I'm sorry. If you want me to be worried about Adidas, look somewhere else.
Worried.
I ain't worried. They're good.
I feel alone.
I got a whole lot of Adidas stuff.
I feel alone when he says, you know, you wouldn't trip if he was associated or not. If it was a good price point, you cop. To Terry's point, though, I just think they're – the majority is the people,
most people
that will sit back and just be like, I don't want anything to do with it if he's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know some staunch hype supporters
beast.
That would not
yeah,
even.
Yeah, and to that hypothetical, if
this were to
if
happen.
If Ye came back into the fold,
right.
it would actually make me not want to mess with Adidas at all. Because I'm like,
right?
I mean, they don't have any type of integrity at all.
Exactly.
How are you going to come
exactly.
out and be like, oh man, we're against this? Yeah. And be like, well, we're not selling very good.
Well,
so let's,
yeah.
We can vouch for this anti-Semitism and this anti-blackness now. Well,
when
you
it
know.
Comes to our pockets,
yeah.
And
now, I see the Snoop sign with Skechers.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I laughed. I laughed extremely hard.
Who's copping these Snoops?
Long, you want a pair of them?
You gonna buy them for me?
If I buy them, you wear them.
Well, I don't know what they look like.
We'll find you one.
Are they
what
comfortable?
Size? 12 and a half.
12 and
they
a half.
Got some Skechers
yeah.
at.
I bet they comfortable.
At Shoe Carnival.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have
Skechers
at Shoe Carnival.
I'm just saying, my threshold is $49.95.
Snoop gonna find that bread, and he
and
had
Pharrell is the new creative director for Louis Vuitton.
Oh yeah,
oh word!
I bet you, Ye is not happy about that.
Girl, he's never happy about anything.
No. I mean, the last time I saw Kanye West, somebody was recording him smoking a bunch of cigarettes outside the back of
really
behind him.
What?
He going through it?
It was like, man, Kanye's going through it.
The last time I saw him, he threw somebody's phone in traffic. Like,
I seen that.
Reaching there and got her phone and just threw it on the ground.
Hold on, I thought he was married again.
I saw that too. I don't know.
He was what?
Is he married again?
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
I'm happy that I don't know the latest Kanye news.
Yeah,
last thing I saw was
married
the phone.
Anybody.
What white woman did he marry?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
He said it, none of us did.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, we didn't. Thank you for the clarification. Y'all know who said it. So
no good yeah. way y'all like that girl.
Hey, he's stupid.
He on some BS, man. He need to quit playing.
Yo, man, shout out to Dave, man. Rest in peace. De La Soul.
Yeah, man. That one hurt. You want to talk about it? I found that out right before kickoff. Yeah.
54 years old, man. I understand he has some, congestive heart
failure at one point in time.
I believe.
Yeah.
And
a couple years ago.
And he didn't. And plus, he wasn't there for the Grammy performance, which makes sense. That's crazy, bro. Like, you talk about a group that, when I was a kid, like early, the 90s,
for real. That's one of the core memories
you're
that pop
about,
up
no,
when I think
80s.
About
it. Late 80s,
we're
early
about
90s.
The 80s with
yeah.
potholes in my lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, like three feet high, like that, man, like I grew up on them for real. Used to love Me, Myself, and I and the junk with them, with the Jungle Brothers and the Native
Buddy.
Tongue and all that, Buddy. Yeah, man, that's
and
tough.
And they're a group
man.
That never broke up.
True.
Yeah.
You know, from that era.
One of the few.
You know, you think about all the other groups that came through that era.
Yep.
Something happened. EPMD, NWA,
Tribe Called Quest, Jungle Brothers.
Or they just stopped doing whatever.
Who was on a documentary trying to reconcile to get Tip and Fife back together? It was De La Soul.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All of them were there.
And then leaders of the new school. These are all people that was together.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, look, Black Sheep. Like you're going to say it. It is such an incredible thing for a rap group to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And he even said, he didn't say it specifically. I believe Posse might have rapped this on Rock Cocaine Flow about how never broke up, or what'd he say? De La Soul to the death, or until we break up, mm-hmm. something like that. Never broke up.
Yeah.
I accidentally dissed De La Soul one time on a mixtape.
What? I remember that story.
I think you remember that.
Did I tell that story here?
I don't think you told it here, though.
Okay.
I don't think I heard that one, unless I'm tripping.
No, wait, maybe you did.
You did tell it.
Yeah, okay. You did. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, it was a simple mistake. You know, I didn't realize. I mean, and it got all cleared up with, it was between Ghostface and De La.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They, at one point, they weren't getting along, and I didn't realize that the Ghostface freestyle was about De La Soul, and I mixed much more into the mix. It was called Tony's Money at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it was the beat that wound up being the De La Soul and Ghostface Killah song on the Grind Date. So they figured it all out by the time the album came out.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
And I gave Pasta Noose the CD, like, hey, check it out.
I met him one time. He's a really nice guy.
He probably threw that right out of the window.
See, 10:45.
We'll give one a show.
Yes, that's crazy.
And they're about to hit the streaming too. Like that's what yeah. I hate that too, man. Like they finally about to, you know.
Their first album actually came out on my birthday, March 3rd.
Wow!
Yeah.
And what makes it so sad now is like when people. I mean, it's sad because you know he's a you know I tend not to think about myself as a fan, but think about his actual family.
Yes.
You know, because that's selfish to be like, oh, I'm never going to be able to get to see De La Soul again. Right. It's like, this person never going to see their father or their husband or their brother again.
Uncle, whatever. So,
father, whatever. You know.
But,
that's
it's sad that there are parts of their catalog that you can stream now. Yeah. But, you know, if you really want to go back into the Tommy Boy era.
Yes.
You know, they're slowly but surely putting some things on YouTube because they snatched everything off of YouTube.
Right.
Well, they gave it all away for free a handful of years ago.
Yeah, I got the whole, I got their whole discography.
Yeah, me too.
You know, so it's just kind of crazy, you know, because if people want to go back and, you know, the Grind Date, I believe, is on streaming. And then, like, the most recent one that they crowdfunded.
That was the one with samples. Yeah. It was all.
Yeah.
All
that one was really good.
That was
good
a good
too.
Record. That was a good record. Yeah. And I don't think AOI.
What was the name of that joint? The most recent one. What was the name of that project? With the orchestration and strings and all that. I gotta look that up.
I don't remember.
They had Snoop on there. They had 2 Chainz on there.
I hate the fact that happened. And like, I don't know if they got everything to right as far as their ownership of what's going on because it's about to go back on streaming.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate the fact that this happened in the middle of that.
True.
Because whoever has the higher percentage is now going to push it faster, basically just to benefit themselves.
Mm.
And the anonymous nobody.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Long. Yep. That's 2016.
Yeah, that album was really good.
Grind Date is really good. Grind Date was like I had heard them on features and stuff, but I mean, of course, this is not a secret. I got into this stuff a little bit later than everybody else, but the Grind Date was like the first real record album that I heard from them, and it's really good.
That was your introduction?
Yeah, and of course, Rock Cocaine Flow, which was amazing.
Did you, but you like you normally will do, you backtracked and went back?
A little bit, but to be honest, I'm not super, super knowledgeable of a lot of De La stuff, a lot of the early stuff. I know their hits, their singles. I've remixed a couple of their records and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But like I haven't.
Did you ever go back and run Stakes Is High?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I know.
That's one of my favorites.
Straight album form like that, you know, so I don't.
You don't have to anymore.
I don't even know if I could tell you any. Is that an album?
Yeah, Stakes Is High. Yeah.
I remember Stakes Is High.
You know, I'm about to say he knows that.
Stakes Is High came out the same day as Nas's second album, I Am. Is that the second album?
No, second third. Album was...
It was written. Yeah. I Am is the third. And I just remember, it was like, I was working at the Keys and Engraving Shop in Sears.
Home from college. You used to cut keys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out here moving them keys.
Okay. Bob Vila, the key department.
I see you.
Engraving cross pens, hooking up door knockers. Ooh. Yeah. I was an artisan. and I remember I only had enough money for one, and I bought Stakes Is High.
Mm.
I bought, it was written like a couple weeks later.
I think I might be wrong, but I thought they were working on something new as well.
Oh, that make it even worse, man. If they were, it's like Fife's verses on the Tribe Project.
Oh yeah, those albums came out not that far from away from each other. I remember that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, like Fife's verses were on there, but it just ain't hit quite the same. You know what I'm saying, and it might be the same situation with this. But no, rest in peace, man. Like this is one of the most iconic groups in my opinion, and I hate to
definitely.
I just hate to. I hate this, man, because we're seeing more and more people that are a part of our were a part of our childhoods. We lose them in their 50s, bro, like Coolio, people like that. Like,
it's definitely showing you mortality.
Yes.
And that people that you looked up to or that were your heroes, essentially, in some way, sort of form, are succumbing to life, essentially, mm-hmm. because, I mean, it's inevitable that it's going to happen to each and every one of us.
True.
But it's just, I don't know, man.
It hits you now that as we advance in age.
Yes.
You know, it used to be if I saw somebody 54, I think that was so far away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 54 is only, you know, 9 years away from me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
nine summers.
Yeah.
Nine
and you summers. Can think about like what's, you know, and I think about how fast time has flown
exactly.
for me, you know, in these past few years, you'd be like, 9 years ain't going to be nothing.
No, for everybody, as it relates to, you know, COVID and stuff like that, we lost three or four quick ones, it feel like to me. It was three, actually, but
well, you know,
we're working on three.
But the thing is, when we just kind of referring back to our list, did we put down either one?
No.
Nope.
And Pasta Noose is probably one of the most, when we talk about how underrated Black Thought is,
mm-hmm.
like when you listen to Paz, you can hear it's like, oh, this may be who really kind of influenced Black Thought.
Mm.
When you hear when you hear their cadence and their wordplay,
would give Paz his flowers. Sure he would.
And I know like Black Thought's been around for, but you know, Paz predates him as far as recorded music that I've heard. I mean, when people make these lists, nobody ever thinks of Dave or Pasta Noose as far as talking about their favorite rappers of all time.
Influence.
And honestly, when you listen to, you know, of course, because I go back, because you get that nostalgia thing. When I listen to Break of Dawn,
come on,
off of Blown Mind State, which was the first single off their third album,
man,
and you listen to Pasta Noose, you're like, why don't we talk about him more?
Yeah.
They were so unique.
I love that record, by the way.
As a group, De La Soul was just a really unique group from their style, how they dressed. This was a time in rap where it was more politically charged,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't really on BS, but it was more on some like peace. Not to be confused with hippie type stuff, but I mean, seeing them face value, you kind of took that from. That's why he said it in one of the first songs.
But, yeah, but then they'll have a song basically about, you know, a girl who's been abused, like killing, right. you know, killing her abuser. You know, it was some deep stuff going on there and stuff nobody, you know, wouldn't dare say, okay, we're going to make this a single.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
that native tongue movement is crazy when go through the whole roster.
The song's called Millie Pulled a Gun on Santa, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they had some dope artists in that collective. All the way from Queen Latifah, Moni Love, Jungle Busta Brothers, Rhymes. Them, Busta Rhymes.
The Black Sheep.
Yeah.
They were down, you know.
That collective was very strong.
They said
Prince
it was
Paul.
And they said it was just kind of like it wasn't like anything like planned out. It was just kind of like a group of people.
Yeah,
essentially.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know,
it kind of reminds me of
Old Aquarians.
Yes, you took the words right out of my mouth. It's the same type of vibe.
You know, the thing that was the most confusing to me as I was trying to learn De La Soul was the fact that they all have different names. And so there's like Plug One, Plug Two,
Plug
Dave,
three.
And then is it Trugoy?
Trugoy.
The Dove. And then Dave, and then just Dave. So he went by three different names.
Yeah.
And so like, it was
sometimes it might confuse you.
It mm-hmm. confused the hell out of me. It really did. So
yeah.
Did you see the thing? not the straight pivot, but did you see the thing where Scarface and Willie D.
Yeah.
D were getting
talked
into
about it?
It?
Yeah.
Willie D was really hurt. And initially I thought, remember we talked about this, because Jay Moore, I was laughing. You said, man, Willie D needed to sit down somewhere. Anybody?
I didn't say Willie D needed to sit down.
Not
somewhere.
Sit down. I'm paraphrasing here. But
don't have Willie D coming after me.
Willie D don't hurt anymore. So
he ain't gonna hurt nobody. Like.
Be careful, man.
I don't know Willie D didn't. You know, I'm not gonna say.
Be
that
careful. Right. He used to box now. About Willie D used to box. No. Yeah, be careful.
I told you, Willie D told me. He said, if you got a beater, you don't need it. Shout to Willie D for giving me them words of advice and sending me on the right path as a young man.
As I heard him plead his case. Did you see the...
Yeah, I watched it. I actually kind of agree with Willie a little bit.
I started off on...
Because I was thinking from our point of view, like, say we're on a podcast.
Yeah.
And we're like, what you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going to the Grammys. Yeah. That's kind of whack, man. Like, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to the Grammys to perform. Actually, when I got the call, I probably would have said, hey, I got a call to do this. Do you want to do it with me?
So the reason why I agree with Willie is because did Scarface... do a Ghetto Boy song?
He did Mind Playing Tricks.
So, yeah, why wouldn't you have Willie there for that? Like, if he's doing a Scarface song, I can almost kind of understand
it. And that's what Willie D was saying.
But
like,
yeah, the Grammys called Scarface, though, right?
So Scarface supposed to tell him, though. Because when we talked about it, I was kind of like, Willie D shouldn't be tripping because Scarface represented for the... Ghetto Boys.
That's my initial reaction.
But
yes.
Hearing him say that he asked you, what are you doing this weekend? I'm just going to this Grammys thing.
That changed it. And when Willie D said that his goddaughter was watching the performance and saw Scarface out there and was like, well, is Uncle Willie about to come out? And then the mom had to say, no, he's not performing.
Yeah, that's kind of ill. He said,
no, he'll be over later.
Yeah, crib though, yeah.
He bringing wings.
What are you talking about? He's
and
in
Willie
the kitchen.
Was, and Willie was like, man, your kids got a chance to be proud of you and be able to watch you perform. So I initially was on the side that Terry said, but as I kept hearing him talk, and it was genuine, like they weren't playing. They brothers, they going to be cool, but that was a genuine, heated, like.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a legit conversation, and I actually respect.
And it was warranted, too. I get it.
And I respect what Willie D was saying. I had to come around. I did.
No, I would be upset if the potties or whatever. That sounded really bad.
The podcast, Grammys, whatever.
Like, came around and be like, so, Terry, what you doing this weekend? I might need you to DJ. He'd be like, I'm going to be out in California for this thing.
Going to the potties.
You
know?
And I look up. Yeah. And you just on stage.
Yeah, that's kind of lame. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that personally. That's just not how I'm wired.
I feel like to me the selling point, I was with Scarface.
I was
at
too.
First
until it was the fact that he performed a Ghetto Boy song. I was like, nah, that doesn't make sense.
I mean, initially,
because Scarface has a whole career by himself too.
He does. He has plenty of records he could have done.
But
I mean, and once again, I know there's only so much time. You can't do multiple verses, but they could have figured out a way.
Right.
Man, even if they just mashed, four bars each or something like that.
Willie was just on stage with
him. Doing ad libs or something.
Yeah.
He was like, I got the call. You still, if I got the call, I'm going to tell my friends, listen, such and such called
Scarface
me to do
was
this.
Like, you're right.
Yeah, he couldn't say nothing.
But he didn't. I don't know.
You don't know if it was genuine when he was saying you're right.
He was like, "No, you're right."
Look, you told.
I just think he was in his lawn. He didn't care.
Look, he didn't care.
You told us all when you were going to be on Fox News.
Yeah,
I did, didn't I?
He did.
Actually, you know what? I don't even know if I told you guys. I reached out to them and said, "Are you sure you don't want somebody else?"
Yeah, you did say that.
So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, man. All I'm saying is, I bet not see either one of y'all at the potties. You know what I'm saying?
The potty awards.
Yeah, just let me know, man. You know, if you go up there, you're going to wave the flag, cool. Just let us know you're going to the potties, Jay.
At least. Yeah, even if they just said we only want one person, everybody got to go. At least be in attendance.
Yeah, I'll be in the crowd. Yeah. Yeah, we'll root for you.
Yeah, when somebody get a Grammy Award or something, they have everybody up on stage that had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. Everybody don't talk.
True.
But you're present.
I nominate we send loan and just keep everything nice and safe.
You think sending me would be safe? I mean, maybe.
Keep it nice and safe.
Jay Moore might be a little too aggressive, man. I don't know. He might say something up there.
I get to talking about third world white people.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we just send Lone.
I feel like
Lone would be a super, be the one that would end up being a super troll.
Hold up. I don't think that I would be the safe one, though.
Definitely not.
I feel like you would be the safe one.
I'd be
the most politically correct, I think.
I could flip it. Yeah, I could do that.
I can go either way.
Yeah.
I'd be up there thinking, like, how can I sneak some random bullshit in here?
That's a good point. You probably would get up there acting fool. Jay Moore started talking in his
I mean, I did on the Fox
quiet storm voice up there. Yeah.
I'd be like, well, look here.
He'll start in telling opinion, a story.
Hip hop is always going to be relevant.
But nah, man, I felt for Willie, man, and I felt for him, and I'm with you, Willie D, on that one, and I don't want no problems, and none of us do. So
he said, "Your girl want that Willie D."
Scarface,
Justin Mac Miller.
Scarface gonna have to eat this one. That's all I can tell you.
That wasn't cool, man.
Yeah,
That wasn't cool.
They should have called. But if they said they rehearsed it. So if they knew they was gonna do that record, they should.
I'm just going to this Grammy thing.
Yeah, I'm just going to this Grammy thing. That's tough.
Yeah, that's
so funny.
That's, yeah.
You know how bad that is to just be like, yeah, they asked me to go to this Grammy thing.
He's like, but they asked me.
Yeah, like that justifies the fact that you ain't telling.
You ain't even tell him. Y'all do a whole podcast together.
A whole podcast. It's like, he should have been like, hey, man, it's like if we went to the potties.
We want our bread too, man. Don't nobody, you know.
I don't think anybody's going to steal that.
The potties.
Yeah, it's not provocative enough, man.
What would the logo be is the question.
I don't know.
Long, what's the logo for the potties?
Toilet.
A Joe Budden bust.
Sitting on the toilet with a microphone.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Y'all see Joe Budden going off about podcasts?
Him and Nori were.
Yeah, he was going off about people trying to jump in the podcast game and mad because they ain't getting money type stuff.
We've talked about that here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nori was acting. Nori was showing out, though. Nori was stunting. He was calling people. Like I told when we were talking about on that episode, he was stunting bad. Like, I'm getting this paper. I got three different deals. Y'all whack. All this. I said, okay,
yeah, he came into this as a famous person.
Yeah,
it's different.
Yeah.
Well, that's who Joe Budden was calling out, essentially. Was the people that had some kind of fame at some point in time try to hop in the podcast game and don't have the chops to continue to keep doing it.
Right. No, I remember he called out like Amy Schumer one time. This is when he was going through his whole thing with Spotify.
Oh,
it was
why
do you think people want to hear what Amy Schumer wants to talk? Like, he really went, but at the same time, it made sense to me because I'm like, why does anybody want to listen to, you know, but gave her all this money and you fight with me over nickels and dimes and like I'm at one point Spotify's most popular IP.
Yeah. I don't really want to hear it. Amy Schumer.
I don't even want to watch her movies.
No, yeah. I'm cool off Amy Schumer. No cool. No, thank you.
All right, man. That'll do it. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate you as always. Remember, newoldheads.com.
We got stickers.
All the education you need. We got the stickers in. If you see it, like it, subscribe, share. Pay for it if it has a pay option. We really appreciate the support, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Goodbye.
Yeah.